brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Region Player.
You know, every week is a major test for us and how the product looks when we go out there.
Our football relationship, you know, is one deal, but I want to be able to have a relationship with my guys, you know, far more once they get out of the program.
John, you're talking too long. We only have a certain amount of time. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there, and we are halfway through. Strange. We're halfway through the regular season already in a lot of places.
Region Player.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what are you singing? It took me a second. for her to say, Region Play.
Region Play.
That's the region. Ooh. That's the Region Play song.
It's my favorite. And we've got one of the most highly anticipated games for me.
I was going to say, since it's on Hannah's scoreboard.
Me,
yeah,
I'm excited about this game this Friday. We've got the coach
A lot of folks are excited. Go ahead and tell them who the coach is.
We're going to catch up with Camden County head coach Travis Rowland.
Yep.
Came up from Florida.
Correct.
I'm not even going to say it right now because I'm going to screw it up later.
Yep.
So we'll just leave where he's from until the interview.
Yes.
Wildcats are 5-0, poised for a big year and a big showdown against Valdosta on Friday. You better bet that is on the EMC scoreboard. Top games of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Also, game number 7. I can't believe that. Game number 7 for GPB this Friday, right? This will be our 7th game.
Okay.
Is Grayson versus Newton.
Correct.
We catch up with Rams head coach Santavious Bryant. Well, it's Rams versus Rams.
It's all the Rams. So either way, you got it right. We're catching up with the Rams head coach, but it's the Grayson head coach.
Yes, and the winner will take the top spot in the region. So we have got a couple of awesome coaches on today.
Yep, and last week.
Mm-hmm. Finally didn't rain, but then we had the opposite. So we were at the Swamp, Arrowhead Stadium at the Swamp.
Right.
It was literally like
Amazing Creekside.
Soup in my crock pot. I mean, it was so hot.
So what was that again? What was it? What was it like?
It was like the first chili of the season.
No, it really was. That's not what you said. You said it was like what?
A soup in the crock pot.
No, but you accentuated the S. A soup in my crock pot.
It was like the first chili of the season. I mean, it was dense in the Swamp. And I didn't realize the Swamp was like literally right behind the stadium.
Yes, the Swamp is literally right behind the stadium.
Bugs were crushing the whole crew.
For you.
Matt was going nuts with them.
Yeah, and Matt's like, so how are the Nats down there? And I'm like, they're not doing anything to me.
Yeah, for some reason, it's because John's just not sweet enough.
No, I think I was also wearing dark clothing.
You were. So I had that bright blue dress on.
Yeah, so that was a mistake.
So,
yes.
That was game number 6. Mays versus Creekside. I'm trying to find the final score here. 31-0.
Yeah.
They are tied with Jackson Atlanta for first place in their region. Both of those schools are 2-0 in region play. But a good game overall. The first half was good.
Yeah, and you got to see the defenses of both of these teams, and you got to see what they're anticipating going on. But obviously, after the injury to head coach Mo Dixon's son, it seemed like everything was ratcheted up defensively that much more, and they wanted to finished the game out for him, and the game kind of turned at that point. And so 31-0, the final score there, Mays and Creekside. But it was great to see our friends at Creekside all over again. And
we got an update on his son, too.
Yeah, go for it.
He fractured his shin bone. It was a clean break.
Yeah.
He had surgery. We'll make a full recovery in 6 to 8 weeks, and he could be back by the second round, Coach said.
Yeah, so, it was great to hear from
crossed.
Coach. Yeah, great to hear from Coach Dixon. It was a lot of worried people on the Creekside fan base and the administration, everybody on the Creekside half of the stadium, they were worried about Hayden Dixon. But now we got that news today from Coach Dixon. So looking forward to a great recovery for everybody there attached to the Creekside family.
A couple other updates from around the state last Friday. The biggest upset, according to GHSF
biggest
Daily,
upset.
Was Brantley County taking down 7th-ranked Jeff Davis 28-21. Jeff Davis was a 31-point favorite. It was also Brantley's first win of the season, and they hadn't beaten a top 10 team from its classification since 1972.
Big win for Coach David Shores.
Big win.
And we had Coach Shores on in the offseason about what it was like to be a head coach again. And so to get that win for that program, really, really cool for the Herons in Nahunta and Brantley County.
And shout out to my family friends, the Bissells and Augusta. Okay. I told him, I saw him this morning at my parents' house, dropping off the 20s. I told him that
dropping
I would
off
give...
The, you were dropping off the 20s?
The 20s. My twins. My mom watches them.
Oh, 20s. I thought you said 20s.
The 20s. I'm my like, mom yeah, watches my...
You see, now, am I wrong here? I thought she said 20s.
I heard it, yeah.
See?
I heard 20s. Yeah. 20s.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, 20s. It's like she just goes to the bank and goes to the Bissells and dropping off the 20s. It's like, so here's one... dropping off the 20s. I'd like to be in this. I'd like to be in this rotation.
Hey, he plays on Augusta, so he where the Masters, play. He's got the 20s. No, my mom watches the girls on Mondays, so I can come here and do this. My dad went to the Falcons game with all of his buddies last night, so they slept over, but at my parents' house.
I digress. You want to toss to our first coach?
No, I need to finish the shout out. Lakeside Evans beat Glen Academy 28-14. The Panthers are now tied with Brunswick for first place in Region 1 5A, and they are 5-0 for the first time ever, John. So, long story short. Glad we got that out.
That's not a long story short at all. You want to toss to the first coach?
Let's do it. Let's head to Kingsland and get the scoop on the Camden County Wildcats. Here's Coach Roland. Hey, Coach Roland, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Anytime we get to talk about Camden County High School, it's an exciting time. So we appreciate the exposure you guys are giving us.
So before we get to your outstanding season so far, let's get to know you. You came up from Florida, Daytona Beach, mainland Florida.
No, the D is silent.
I said it wrong.
It's mainland.
I was already warned say mainland, and I did it anyway.
No, you said mainland, and you ended with a D.
You were
there until the D.
Mainland.
Mainland. Try literally. Again. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right.
Daytona Beach. Mainland?
There
Florida?
You go. There we go.
So what brought you to Georgia? Tell us all about your background and why you're loving Georgia high school football.
I mean, you know, like I said, born and raised, as you said, Daytona Beach. Obviously went to Bethune-Cookman University. I was a 3-year captain of the football program there. Just been blessed in my journey. Mark Beach, who's the head coach at Lambert High School right now, gave him my first position coach job at Seabreeze High School, our rival. And so, you know, kind of just been around him for a while and knowing him. And then, you know, this opportunity came up after we won a state championship and, it was open. I said, why not? You know, I went to college with the first state championship quarterback ever here, Emmanuel Bacon. We won our championships in high school at the same time. And so I got my introduction to Camden through Manny Bacon. And so just, you know, kind of keeping up with over the course of time and understand this is a place, like I tell everyone, it's about the resources that South Georgia football offers and not in our paycheck as coaches, but just the weight room, the size of the staff that you're able to have, just so many different amenities with the practice facilities and all those kind of things. You know, you always want to see how you can do with that kind of ability, with the chance to do that. So that's kind of what we had happen and what made me make this decision to try to shoot my shot and see if I can make it.
So what have you thought so far about this?
I think he's making it so far.
I think so, yeah. So far, so good going through non-region. Now that you're halfway through your schedule, what do you think so far about year one of the administration down there in Kingsland for you?
I mean, it's going awesome. You know, I tell everybody the people here is what's the best part. Coming from a storied program in Florida, I think the biggest difference that you see in Georgia right away is that the people in South Georgia in particular support their programs through and through. We had a game where it rained literally probably for 3 of the 4 quarters. And I've never seen so many umbrellas in one place in my life. In Florida, a lot of times people are going to get up and leave. And the people here have been amazing. So you can feel the support. You know, they want you to be successful. There's no ill will from anyone. I think that's been the best part is that everybody just wants to see this school and this county be represented the right way and do well. And so far we've done really well. I think that, you know, I tell everybody, you know, yes, we aren't into region play yet, but I think the biggest part is we've had so much change and some of it drastic, right? We went from wing T to a more traditional power spread RPO based offense. And that's a big, huge change. And for our offense to make the leaps and bounds they've made against a good Brunswick team, against a good, very good Spruce Creek football team, I think we've shown, how far we've come. And so we're excited about what's to come in region play. As I tell our kids all the time, you know, like they got to play us too. You know, we respect our opponents, but, you know, we know we have a good football team. We're excited about, I'm excited. This, you know, I've been developed.
What
roster before.
Yeah, we can't tell, Coach.
I'm ready to go, man. It's been my first time in some of these historic stadiums. You know, I'm a high school. I always say I'm a high school football like historian. So I've kept up with, you know, a lot of South Georgia, which is Georgia football in general. So to kind of be able to go to some of these, you know, these historic stadiums, you know, getting to go to, you know, Velasco Stadium and then going to the Concrete Palace in 2 more weeks, it's going to be a fun time to get to see some of these places I'm excited about.
John, you've met your match.
Well, no, I think I need to send him a book.
He's also a high school football historian. He's written six books.
So
I got it right this time.
Sure, he knows way more than me, though. I just love the pageantry that comes along with South Georgia football. So I mean, we're excited about it.
Quiz. You just start peppering quiz questions.
Well, no, because then you sit there and go, John, you're talking too long. We only have a certain amount of time.
Well, when it comes to on the field, you can't knock your non-region schedule. And you're 5-0. You have your first big test against Valdosta on Friday. Big region battle. You're coming off a bye week, though. What were your main focuses during the bye week to get ready for the Wildcats?
You know, one big one is get healthy. You know, so we made sure we had a couple of days where we did things the right way to keep the kids fresh. And then I think the biggest part was just helping the kids understand that we're not here. This, you know, bye week doesn't mean we don't go hard in practice. Bye week doesn't mean we don't focus in practice. And so that was the biggest part. You know, sometimes in this generation, you as coaches, you have to set the standard that you want. And I think, you know, I definitely challenge our coach to be as prepared as we've ever been and to coach even harder than we've coached before so that the kids can kind of understand, you know, that we are shifting gears. And I tell everybody too, like, you know, us being new and, you know, four of us being Florida guys on the staff right now, we've had to prove it every week. And so, and that went back to, you know, Brunswick, because we hadn't beaten Brunswick in 2 years. So that was a big thing too, to kind of win the rivalry game. So I got to tell everybody, I want to see who can hold Brunswick to under 40. I know what happened this past week I think they played Greenbrier. I was really surprised that they didn't score a bunch, but I'm challenging people to find somebody that's going to stop that offense, which is really explosive. So we know that we're always auditioning in a sense of, you know, because we're new and people want to see can what we're doing continue to work. So, you know, every week is a major test for us and how the product looks when we go out there.
Well, Coach, I did some math, which is scary. You're averaging 54.4 points on offense. So obviously you are doing things very well there at Camden County. Brag on some of your players, not only offensively, but defensively as well. Who is making this team click?
Absolutely. You know, those points, I hired Grant Alford, who was at Lake Mineola High School. He gave us some trouble when I was at Mainland. We always beat him, but it was only because we had better players, though. His scheme is unmatched. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Like,
oh, yeah.
We had some really good players at times we played them. And thank God those guys were able to make some plays because he does a great job, phenomenal job calling offense. Obviously, I think, you know, Parks ran to our quarterback. You know, he was a starter last year. You know, he's not 6'3". You know, he doesn't have a cannon, but he's a captain. He's voted by his peers. You know, he starts at catcher. He was hurt last year for the baseball team, but he's been Mr. Consistent. He's made great decisions. He has one interception this year so far. And I argue about it being, it should have been a pass interference call. It was really blatant. That got missed. Receiver got tackled. So the safety just was able to catch like a punt. But I think Parks has been so solid for us. He's made great decisions every single game. Hasn't put the ball in harm's way, you know, ever, to be honest. And then obviously, you know, everybody knows about Elias. But what I think the other guys that are playing receiver, you know, Sean Green, who's now a 4-star sophomore wide receiver, you know, our other tight end, Josh Locklear. And I think, too, the emergence of our running back, Jordan Hardy, has been tremendous for us. And then obviously we have 4 seniors in the offensive line that have carried us: Anthony Green, Zach Taylor, Tazio Rosso, and then new starter who's a senior, David Turner. So those 4 guys have been great for us up front in making sure that we, you know, our solid, our entire offense, I've been happy with, because they haven't been pushed over. You know, our center Trenton has done a phenomenal job for us being electric. And so I think a lot of it, you know, I'm as an old Pop Warner coach, I tell people football begins and ends up front. And then if you don't have an offensive line that can give you a shot, it doesn't matter what you got out wide. And so I think that's where we've been solid at, is on the offensive line.
So then going from the starters that you get the chance to brag on, let's talk about what we like to do here at GPB, what we call make that kid an offer. And what it is for any player on the roster who is too whatever, they're too small, they're too slow, you know, the grade point or the test scores, they're not high enough. Who on your roster isn't getting enough looks or isn't getting the proper looks that you think they should when it comes to what Camden County is doing there in 2024 on your senior side? Who should be who will be right there? You sit there in Utah on the top row at Chris Gilman Stadium. You sit there and you go, make that kid an offer. Who would fit that?
Man, as a senior, I'd probably have to say Jav Daly, our safety. He plays nickel for us. He does go and play like the high safety at times. He's a kid that's blocked kicks. He's got interceptions, made some tackles. I think he's a phenomenal football player, one of our leaders. You know, his twin brother just picked up an offer from High Point. And so I think Jav is an amazing, amazing senior that fits the bill. I think just because, you know, they hadn't necessarily, you know, played this style of defense in the sense of, you know, some things he's doing, he's been a little under-heralded. So I would definitely say him for sure.
All right, Coach Roland. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, breaking down the team and all the awesome things Absolutely. That have been going on there. We really appreciate it and cannot wait to see what happens against Valdosta.
No doubt.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
One coach down, one to go, and we go from Kingsland to Loganville. Where's Loganville? Where Santavius Bryant's the head coach of the Grayson Rams. Time to catch up with them as they get ready for Football Friday's Game of the Week as they travel to Newton.
Hey, Coach Bryant, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
We are doing good, getting ready for our game this Friday. But before we talk about all of that, I want to talk about your second season there at Grayson. And it's your second year ever being a head coach. You're a young guy. So what have you learned the past 2 years, and how's it going there with the Rams?
It's going great. I'm going to be completely honest. You know, I couldn't ask for much more. It's a great community, great football team. We are putting a great leadership for our school. So again, I'm just blessed to be in this position. You know, and just kind of rolling with the punches. I think I learn something new every day. It's one of those deals where you can't, you know, go read a book about this. It's a bunch of things that come up on your end that are unexpected. So again, I think each day I'm just learning something new, and I'm rolling with the punches.
So you played it shorter, and you and I have that connection with each other, where I was there for the early days of the program, got to see it in the NAIA in a really tough conference, and getting to the playoffs and seeing a program built from the ground up. Phil Jones was the head coach there at Shorter. Tremendous man, and I think he was even a better man than he was a football coach. What did you learn from your time at Shorter that has helped you as a head coach?
Oh, man, I mean, one thing that Coach Jones stands on is relationships. And I mean, he would sit us down and talk to us about that for hours and hours and hours. At the time, I didn't quite understand it. But now that I'm a head coach and I'm looking at things, I truly see that it is all about relationships. And those things that I took straight from him and I'm preaching to my guys.
I feel like you have an advantage. Like, you just played. You just started your coaching career 7 years ago and you're young. Do you have really close relationships with your players? Like, do you guys just connect on a different level because you're right there where they want to be? What type of team is this? What type of leader are you when it comes to the locker room?
Yeah, I'm definitely a relationship-driven person. I want my guys to understand that I'm there for them for much more than just football. You know, football is something that, you know, we're a part of that bring us together. But, you know, me being there for them in life, being able to give them different life skills, being able to, you know, maybe it's something going on at home, maybe it's something going on, you know, in the community, things like that. To where we can sit down and have those conversations. Those are the things, honestly, that stick out to me more than just the football piece of things. Our football relationship, you know, is one deal, but I want to be able to have a relationship with my guys, you know, far more once they get out of this program.
You've already dove into region play, got a big win first weekend. You're at the halfway point of the season. What have you learned about yourselves as a team, one game into region and at the halfway point of the 10 games here in season two?
One thing that we were preaching going into the year is, you know, just growth and maturity. I mean, we're starting to see some of our guys, you know, start to step into new roles. Every year is a new team. So, again, last year we graduated some really good players and some really key pieces, and we graduated some really great leaders. So being able to have time with our guys, you know, this year, hey, to get guys to step up into those roles, being able to see, you know, who is going to be what a leader, what type of leader they are, you know, and what works best for us. Same thing with our coaching staff, you know, being able to figure out what works for this team, you know, what worked last year may not work this year. So being able to just build our guys, you know, get to know each other, really be able to see, hey, this is what it's going to take this year. This is how we get our guys to click this year. This is how we get guys to gel.
Well, we cannot wait to see you guys put to the test against the Rams, Rams versus Rams here on GPB. Mm-hmm. What do you know about this opponent, and what are your keys to the game?
This is an opponent that, you know, we respect very much, really good football team. They played a really tough schedule, and they've played some opponents really closely. So, again, I think it's been one of those deals. You see Newton year in and year out. They're going to have, you know, super talented players. They're going to be well coached. So for us, it's just, you know, a Friday that we get to go and step up to the challenge. Again, we want to play in tough games. We want to play in tough environments. And I think that's exactly what this was going to be.
When you look at your team, obviously folks are gravitating toward a player like Deuce Smith, 13-17 for 238 to help you out for this win. For someone who's drifting in for the first time and hasn't seen Grayson play this year, who else do folks need to focus on and who will they gravitate toward when they watch the game on Friday night?
I think it's a bunch of names that I can name.
Go for it.
I think it'll be a bunch. And I don't want to leave anybody out. But I would say I think, you know, offensively, they'll gravitate to our guys. You know, we're able to be explosive. We're able to play multiple styles of ball, you know, and we're going to be able to have high-level guys all over the field that are going to be able to make plays. Defensively, you know, we're going to be physical. We're going to run to the ball. We're going to play at a super high level. We're going to tackle well. So, again, I just think when people watch, I think they're going to gravitate to, you know, not necessarily just a particular person, but more so of a style of play on both sides of the ball.
Well, I will force you to say a name. So for our Make That Kid an Offer segment, who is somebody on your team that's overlooked when it comes to recruiting that you think deserves a college offer and a chance at the next level?
Again, a bunch.
Hey, we got time and tape. It's all good.
A bunch. I'll go down the line. You know, our running back, Elijah Miller, who's a tremendous player. We got a right tackle, Chris Gardner. Again, who's a tremendous player. Our center, Josh Three, who he's got a few things going on, but I think, you know, could have more. Our receiver, Aiden Taylor, super explosive kid that's been doing it at a high level for a couple of years, I think deserves it. You know, defensive side of the ball, kid Jonathan Skyers, again, he's not your, you know, prototypical with size and things like that, but he turned the film on. That kid plays ball at a high level. Jalen Williams is another uncommitted senior. That's been leading us for 2 years now in the back end. And you know, he's had a pretty good year on both sides of the ball. And he also plays special teams, things like that. So those are some off the top of my head. I'm sure there are more than I'm missing. Javian Wright's another DB that plays in secondary, plays special teams as well, but just do things at a high level. So, again, there's a bunch. There are more, but I'll start with those guys.
Choice D, all of the above.
We like to call them out during the game and get them like maximum exposure. So I've written those names down, and we'll make sure to say them.
Yeah, and I definitely appreciate that. I think that's huge for the kids. Definitely appreciate that.
All right, so we've gone through study hall, and we've gone through getting ready for this matchup, Rams versus Rams. What has it been like for you? I mentioned Phil Jones. Another one of the coaches that you were a part of on their staff was Josh Niblett up at Gainesville, and he's a legend in Alabama. He's now transferred his game here to the state of Georgia. What have you taken from a guy like Coach Niblett and all the other head coaches, in addition to your college head coach, that helped mold you and your thought patterns when it comes to you as a head coach?
I'll say, man, I think I've been fortunate enough to work for a great group of head coaches. Josh Niblett, Adam Carter, and also Mike Collins have been guys that I've worked up under, and I've been able to take things from each one of those guys that we do here every day within our program at some point. So, again, I think just being blessed to work up under good leaders, up under good men that show you the ropes and show you how to do things, I think, which has also allowed me to come in, and maybe I didn't have as much experience as everybody thought I would or maybe thought I should. But we've been able to have success just because, you know, I've been able to learn from those guys and been molded in the right way.
Well, your success is evident, Coach Bryant. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, taking the time out of your busy day, and we'll see you on Friday.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all so much for having me.
All right. Well, it's the Region 4 6A showdown between Grayson and Newton, coming to you from Covington, Georgia, 7:30 p.m. kickoff on GPB. Follow us on social media at GPB Sports for all the happenings.
Homer Sharp Stadium in Covington. Mm-hmm. And you remember the movie Remember the Titans?
Duh.
You remember
my favorite movies.
You remember the championship game?
Yes.
That was where they filmed the championship game. Or the one leading into the championship, okay, where Coach Yost knows that the fix is in, mm-hmm. and everybody comes in. They filmed a lot of the action there, and Remember the Titans there at Homer Sharp.
Nice.
Yeah, and so they.
So we're walking into a yes. old movie.
Well, what
scene.
We ought to do is
it'll probably be a movie.
Well, yeah, what we ought to do is we all ought to go in like every member of the crew. We ought to do the dance. You know, when they all came in the stadium with the rhythm, we ought to do that as like our opening promo.
I just pictured Matt doing it, and I chuckled.
That's well understandable. So no, but and by the way, we're supposed to bring our rain gear again.
Oh, don't say that, John.
Okay. We're supposed to bring our rain gear again.
All right.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
All right. So
I guess.
What else do you want to talk about? Well, you have to talk about obviously what happened in the last week mm-hmm. with everybody here, and we've got a lot of games.
Give us the rundown.
Here's the rundown. All right. So let me turn to the games of last week. All right. So here we go. We'll start with Ambassador Jeremy's Darlington. They beat Harrelson County 21-16. We're doing this alphabetically, by the way, for winners. Commander Sandy's Decatur Bulldogs beat Arabia Mountain.
L for losers?
What? Oh, for Lassiter. it might be. Lakeside Atlanta beat Dunwoody 34-31, the non-region okay. schedule, with your friend Morris Starr mm-hmm. doing really well.
Love Coach Starr.
Parkview, Jake the Snake, I am profoundly sorry. North Gwinnett won 52-13 over Ooh. Parkview. Pope beat Lassiter 27-3.
Region rival.
Mm-hmm. And Southwest Macon beat Central Macon and King James's Chargers by the final of 45-6. So it was kind of like a 50-50 week across the board.
All right.
All right. You know what?
What?
It's gift time for Hannah.
What?
Yeah, it is.
Gift for me.
Yeah, and then I have Jake the Snake, who is behind the glass for the first time in a couple of weeks. We have to get Jake the Snake's words of wisdom.
Yes,
but
we do. Let's do the gift first,
well,
obviously.
Well, here's how this works. There's a coach here in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
And every time that you and I come into a season, mm-hmm. there is a particular coach that I always tell you that before your time is through here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, as I pound the table and create reverb noises, that you will remember the county seat of this particular county and how to spell it.
It was Ludowice.
Correct. Spell Ludowice.
I do not know how to spell it. I would lose my gift if I tried to spell it.
Well, actually, no, you won't.
Ooh.
Because Mike Feaster, down at Long County, the Blue Tide of Long County, he has
Woohoo!
A way for Hannah to never forget
Yay.
How to spell the county seat of Long County.
Thank you.
Right there.
If you're not watching on the video version, it is a long sleeve dry fit, mm-hmm. Ludowice High School.
Excuse me?
Ludowice County?
It's Long County. The Blue Tide of Long County, and the county seat is Ludowice.
You know I only listen to like every other word you say. Yes, it is a navy long sleeve dry fit shirt. Very nice. Thank you so much,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, this is what they're doing this year with the logo and everything, and Mike Feaster doing really well. By the way,
I said Ludowice High School. Because
but it's long.
It is,
it's in,
I know.
It's
I
in
know,
Ludowice, and it's Long County.
We have their helmet, too. It's
yes,
just
we do.
Written very, very large across the
so
front.
So this way, Hannah will never
Great.
Forget
now I got it. Thank
how
you.
To spell Ludowice.
Thank you.
By the way, Long County,
great,
off to their,
gift.
I think they're off to their best start in school history.
Wow.
They are 5-0, 4-0 in region play, and they are unranked currently. So we'll see what happens there in
Maybe
region
three. Maybe we need to get three. Coach on, and I'll wear the shirt.
3-3 is, hey, you know me.
Hey.
I'm not gonna complain about that, but next week we do have some really special guests coming on.
We do. You're not going to want to miss the podcast next week. We have Dr. Robin Hines, mm-hmm. the former GHSA executive
director. He's got an official title now. It's like a highfalutin title, by the way. And it's like executive liaison or something like that. He still is recognized by the GHSA. So let's see.
Well, while he does that, we also have the new executive director, Tim Scott. They are
Correct.
Both going to be sitting in here in the studio with us.
Yes.
And for our producers behind the glass, you guys might, this might be the first you're hearing of it.
Yeah, by the
we
way.
We will have two guests next Monday.
Yes. So
it's going to be great.
It'll be four of us. Leadership, officials. No, or is that like officials that like do the game and everything or like actual officials home? That's like the folks that about the GHSA. Where are the people? Oh, okay. Here we
he
go.
He is the, it took me 2 seconds to find
Of course
this.
It did.
GHSA Legislative Liaison Consultant.
Yes. And so Dr. Robin Hines is the Legislative Liaison Consultant and Dr. Tim Scott is the new Executive Director of the GHSA. We'll have
They're
both.
They're never going to get rid of Dr. Hines.
That we will have both of them in here next week. And maybe Hannah can actually remember how to spell Ludowisi next week.
Maybe, but no promises.
Okay, so a lot of big games this week. Let me blow through them really quickly. You got your top 10 games?
Not yet, so I'm going to take notes.
Okay, so Lee County, Thomas County Central, 5-0 versus 5-0. I'm going to blow through these quickly. Blessed Trinity and Savannah Christian, that's another big game. Peach County and Westover, Oconee County and Cherokee Bluff, Pierce County at Vidalia, Callaway at Pike, Appling County and Fitzgerald. That one's going to be a busy one. Yeah. Dublin and Northeast. Friday, it is Thomasville at Jeff Davis. It is mentioned Fitzgerald. So Northeast at Dublin, Bowden at Booker T. Washington, Irwin and Clinch in single A, Class A, Division II, Manchester and Tryon. And that one is at Manchester. Hart County and PAC is one. And that's just the greatest hits. So there you go.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to narrow down.
All right, so I'm going to turn. It is time to turn. And get the words of wisdom. Now, Marky Mark has filled in and given some interesting takes.
Yes, so I've heard.
About stretching and then not stretching and rebelling and such. And so now that Jake the Snake is back with us, what words of wisdom, sir, do you have to either counteract or join in concert with Marky Mark, or are you just going to go off on your own?
Well, first of all, I want to give a big shout out to Marky Mark for taking my place the last few weeks and being a good advice giver in my stead.
Yes.
I can't control what he says.
No.
You know, much like the Lord, I give my followers free will.
and if you still do not decide, you have still made a choice.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
As Rush said.
Thank you.
But I just want to say, for the record, the best advice that I can give to anybody about football is if you are watching it, watch it on Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Oh, that's the best advice I have heard.
Wow.
Yet
that is deep, man.
That's amazing.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Especially now, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. Watch as much as you can and donate as much as you can. GPB.org.
Plugs on plugs.
See, he gets. He went second level with the plug this week.
I love it.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. So, welcome back, Jake the Snake. Yeah.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
All right.
And so, we always miss you. So, it's time to say goodbye. Now that Jake the Snake has given his words of wisdom for everybody behind the glass, it is Jake the Snake. It is Ambassador Jeremy. It is King James. It's Commander Sandy for Hannah and me.
And the 20s.
I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Great to catch up with our friends in Kingsland and Loganville this week. Enjoy Rams versus Rams Friday night on the GPB, GPB.org, and the GPB Sports app. For everybody here, play safe, everybody. Enjoy your game.
To you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.